I don't know. She don't sell no.
We could have went to Wiltshire.
It's 3 a.m. on a Sunday in Watts in South L.A. The streets are quiet, but inside a community center, about 2 dozen people sit and chat, waiting.
I hope they have room where everybody don't have to sit 200 feet.
There are a few men, some young children, but mostly women in their 50s and 60s, looking groggy.
We see a bus.
The bus is here.
Everyone shuffles out to meet the bus, pulling up to the curb. They line up on the sidewalk, waiting for the doors to open. Soon, they'll be on their way to see mothers, daughters, and sisters waiting for them in prison. This is the Chowchilla Family Express, a bus service that brings families from throughout the state to the two women's prisons in Chowchilla, in California's Central Valley. Everyone settles into their seats as the bus pulls away from the curb. It slowly winds its way through the streets of South L.A. Passengers pull up blankets and close their eyes, trying to get some sleep for the 225-mile trek to the Central Valley. After a while, a quiet descends over the bus, and the constant whir of the bus tires drifts into the background.
Some of these families, we take them to the bus.
Sister Suzanne Jabro helped start the Chowchilla Family Express.
Because you're leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning, if you use public transportation, there's no public transportation at 3 o'clock in the morning. So volunteers must pick them up at their homes and bring them.
She says the majority of incarcerated women in California come from urban areas like Los Angeles or Sacramento, and many are from communities of color. But the distances between cities and women's prisons are often too great for many of the families trying to make a visit.
The problem is pervasive throughout California because we built our prisons out of the major cities. We built them in very isolated areas.
Sister Suzanne says when mothers go to prison, they often turn to their own elderly mothers or other relatives to raise their children.
That's why they don't get visits, because the grandmothers cannot drive this far with a car full of kids, or they're not well enough to drive that far, or their cars are not that good.
And it's one major reason why most women do not get any visitors in prison. A federal study found that less than 50% of imprisoned women receive visits.
There are a lot of women in this prison who have no visitors. There is no family. Those families are gone. And they will not be coming. And they can't, they don't even know where they are. The families that we're helping are those who would want to come but couldn't unless they rode a bus. Someone provided transportation.
Buildings and mountains slowly give way to the flatlands of rural California. A grandmother huddles with her young grandchild sleeping next to her, making sure the blanket covers her. The Chowchilla Family Express started about a year ago, after the success of a similar program called Get on the Bus. That program brought children and their incarcerated moms together on Mother's Day. The program directors say over 2,500 people have taken the bus to Chowchilla, and Advocates for Prisoner Visitation says it helps keep women out of the system.
We know that parents, incarcerated parents who have contact with their families do better on parole, are less likely to go back and recidivate.
Denise Johnson is the director of the Center for Children of Incarcerated Parents. Her organization tries to help families where a parent is in prison. She says visitation is necessary for the emotional well-being of the children left behind.
Young children cannot sustain a relationship through mental images, for example, or letters, the way an older child or an adult can. So for younger children, contact is really, really important because they really don't have the cognitive capacity to maintain those images the way the rest of us do.
Night gradually turns to dawn, and light slowly filters in the bus windows. California farm country zooms by on the 99 freeway.
So please, yeah, just try to wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It is time. Good morning, sunshine.
It's a little after 7 a.m., and Eric DeBody stands at the front of the bus, microphone in hand. He's the program coordinator for the Chowchilla Family Express, and a familiar face to almost everyone on the bus.
If you have to wear jewelry, you can only wear one ring, one set of earrings. No body piercings whatsoever. So if you got a toe...
Although this is not the first visit for many of the bus riders, he still needs to go through the rules they must follow to get access to the prison.
If you're a smoker, leave your cigarettes on the bus. Do not take your cigarettes off the bus. They're very testy about that.
DeBody rides about half the buses that leave out of Southern California and has gotten to know many of the families very well. But he knows there are others who are still just finding out about the program.
How many people are coming for the first time to the prison? One, a couple in the back, a couple here. Okay. We will all keep our eye on you, okay? And if you need help, you ask us.
Devotee is tall, stocky, and kind of looks like your average suburban dad. And he exudes a positive energy every time he speaks to the passengers, like he's pumping them up for their trip.
There's no stigma here, no shame. We're all in this together, trying to do good, trying to hold families together.
Before the bus heads to the prison, it makes a stop in Madera, where a special breakfast has been set up for this trip. The Elks Lodge at Madera is decked out in Easter decorations. Dozens of children run around with Easter baskets and candy bought by organizers. The group from L.A. is joined by two other buses, one coming from Sacramento and another that started in Redding at 12:30 a.m. this morning.
I talk to her on the phone and I write to her.
Pauline Washington is a first-time bus rider from Sacramento coming to visit her mother. She doesn't even have a car. She depended on her grandmother to bring her to Chowchilla, but then her grandmother became seriously ill and died, and she didn't have the means or the way to make it to Chowchilla.
Last time I see my mom, I was 17 years old. I'm 25 now. And it's the first time she gets to see her grandkids.
Her daughter Joanna is about 2, smiling in her pink sweatshirt, while baby sister Alexia sleeps nearby. Pauline works 2 jobs and struggles to make ends meet. She said she almost didn't make it today because the power company had just shut off the electricity in her home. She says this visit is a long time coming.
I'm just nervous and anxious and want to hurry up and go see her.
So we'll be at the prison in about 10 minutes. So if you need to get primped or prettied up or do anything, now's your chance. And now's your time to put your documents in your Ziploc bag and get everything ready to go. Don't forget anything.
When visitors arrive at the prison, they get a number. They actually can't enter until 8:30, but families must submit their names to make sure they've been approved to visit. It's not uncommon to wait up to 2 hours to go through the entire process before you're even allowed into the prison. When Pauline finally signs in, she goes through a metal detector. Then guards open a set of heavy metal gates to let her into the prison areas. It's a short walk from the gate to the visiting room, bustling with activity. The visiting room looks kind of like a school cafeteria. Families wait at circular tables with numbers taped to them. Every few minutes, guards open heavy doors where the inmates file out and look for their loved ones at the tables.
Oh my goodness, you guys.
To the side is a small playroom. It looks like it could be from a school or a church. Painted fish swim along the bright blue walls like an aquarium. Toys are scattered on the colorful carpet and a cartoon plays on a TV. Prisons aren't generally considered happy places, but the mood inside the visiting room is unmistakably upbeat.
You love me? Oh, thank you, honey. Love you too.
Mothers embrace their children, smile, and laughter abounds.
Yep, yep. Yeah!
In the middle of the children's room, Stacy Gilbert plays with her 2 boys, Kane and Jason.
Kane is 3, and Jason will be 1 in April.
Gilbert has been at the Valley State Prison for a little over a year and expects to be out in another year.
It's just hard watching them grow up in pictures, but I enjoyed seeing them, so at least they don't. I don't miss out on too much.
She says she's lucky that her family is able and willing to bring her children to visit her. Many of her fellow inmates, she says, never see their children.
I have a few friends who get real excited when I come back from my visits because I have pictures and they just want to see. So it's kind of like, you know, they get happy for me because I get my visits, but they don't see their kids. So it's almost like they, by me seeing my kids, it's kind of like they're living through me, I guess.
Just outside, visitors stroll arm in arm on a grassy area the size of a small backyard. They talk intimately under the warm sun and clear skies, as if they were at a park.
I got arrested my senior year, so they don't really. Juvenile hall, they really don't give you a senior portrait. Well, here's your mugshot. You look wonderful in it. I'm like, well, I don't remember taking that mugshot, but sure.
At an outdoor table, Casey Corbelli cracks jokes with her mom, Debbie, who's come from Petaluma. Casey looks like a typical teenager, pretty and unassuming, but she sounds like a prison veteran when she talks about visiting day.
It's just nice. You get all dressed up. All the girls do it for visiting. They get up and do their hair. They take their perfume samples out of the magazines and rub it all over themselves. Visiting day is a big thing. It's like an escape.
Back inside, an inmate sitting at a table looks up frequently at the visitor's entrance. Tracy Jones is an African-American woman, probably in her late 40s, and like the other inmates, she's dressed in a blue shirt and blue pants. Her casual and friendly demeanor can't hide the anticipation that's brimming within her as she waits for her daughter, Pauline Washington.
Oh, I automatically see her face. I can't wait to see her. I miss her so much, and it means a lot to me to be able to see her, you know what I mean?
Jones has been in prison since Pauline was 12, and she's about halfway through a sentence of 25 years to life. Her own mother raised Pauline and her siblings for years while Jones was incarcerated.
She's had her ups and downs, believe that. And I know she's gone through a lot of situations. I believe really that the faith that my mom taught them and the faith that I've taught her and she's held on to, because my kids are resilient, I believe their faith has gotten them through a lot. And she's like, I'm not giving up, you don't give up. There she is! I'm so happy to see her bucket head!
Jones sees Pauline first and walks quickly to her. Then she surprises her from behind. They tightly hug each other in the middle of the visiting room. Tears are shed, but smiles quickly replace them. Jones grabs one of her granddaughters from Pauline. She shows off her grandchildren to her fellow inmates.
That's your Aunt Ellen! How are you, my precious pumpkin?
They sit.
You doing good?
For the first time in a long time. Face to face.
I was so happy when I talked to you. You said, Mom, guess I'll be there. I was so
Most of the women I speak to in prison won't go into detail about how they ended up here. Many of them say they are appealing to get their convictions overturned, or at least get their sentences reduced. Most do admit to having made mistakes.
I know society looks at us like, you know, the normal chewing spit under their shoe or whatever, but our families still love us no matter what. You know what I mean? Because nobody's perfect in this world.
Say grandma.
Grandma.
Say grandma.
Visiting hours come to an end at 3:30. Mothers hug their children goodbye, inmates return to their cells, and visitors slowly shuffle out of the prison to catch their buses. And everyone must wait for their next chance to see each other face to face. Women have been incarcerated at an increasing rate over the past two decades. And Sister Suzanne says if prisons are as much about rehabilitation as they are about punishment, then society will need more programs like this so women don't end up back in prison.
I guess what I would say is people are going to get out. The majority of these people are going to, the men and women are getting out of prison. And they need the stability of someone. And who better than their families? So if we can do some healing here where these children know their families, it'll be a much easier transition than to show up at the doorstep and after 7 years and say, well, here I am.
By 5 p.m., the visitors file out and board their buses. Pauline, the visit with her mom fresh in her mind, climbs on the bus bound for Sacramento, and the Chowchilla Family Express is on the road back to Watts.
Bye-bye.
David Chong, Annenberg Radio News.